I thank you for opportunity to be here today. Thank you for the opportunity to sing these songs that speak not only of a baby in a manger, but of a Savior who died to take away the sins of the world. May these songs bring in our minds joy and peace and worship. And Father, even in the midst of difficult times, Lord, as this is, every year is a Christmas season where some of our church family go through that season for the first time without a loved one. Lord, I pray that you meet all of their needs, that you wrap your arms around them, that you communicate to them how much you love them and how magnificent you are. And we celebrate new life as we've had three babies born this past week here to our church family, and so we're thankful for them, and Lord, we just love seeing new life. Father, I pray for your activity in all of our hearts and minds today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Kids, if you want to come on up to the front, it's my turn to do children's sermon with you guys today. And as they're coming up, if you're here with us for the very first time and didn't get a chance to stop at our Welcome Center, I want to point out that in our church bulletin today, we have this thing called a connection card. And you can fill that out. It's right here on the right-hand side. You can fill that out and drop it in the offering plate as it gets passed here in a couple of minutes. All right? Hi, Hunter. How are you today?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Today? Oh, that's an excellent place to sit. Why don't you guys sit down? And I'm going to ask you to help me this morning. You're going to help me get started this morning. So when I say the word Christmas, or when you think of Christmas, what's the first word that pops into your mind?
Joy.
Joy, all right. Presence, okay. The presence of Jesus, right? Yeah, okay. Gotcha, all right. What?
Santa Claus.
So we have joy, Jesus, presence, Santa Claus. What else? What pops in your mind when I say Christmas? What do you think of? What? I can't hear you. Okay. All right. Cool. Great. Landon?
Snow.
All right. What else? Anything else come into your mind when you say? You have something else? Go ahead.
Snowman.
All right. All right. Now, if you lived in like Southern California, maybe snowman wouldn't come to your mind, right? Because they don't have snow in Southern California. But cool. Yeah. Polar Express.
I know. All right. We would have to make snow with.
You do? Good. Anybody else? Anybody else have a word that comes to your mind when you think of the Christmas? Yep.
Singing.
All right. Great. 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 Well, you guys didn't come up with the word that I was thinking of. So I'm gonna open this up, and you are going to read this word for me. Now, this is a word that probably, you know, it didn't come to anybody's mind in the first service either. None of the boys and girls thought about this word.
I can't read it to you. Do you know why?
Why?
I can't read.
Okay. I kind of figured that was the answer I was going to get. Which you will someday be able to read.
Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic. But some of these guys can read. So now this is a word that we usually don't think about when we think of Christmas, but it's a really important word for Christmas. All right, so here it is. It's in this little envelope here. An envelope. All right, so those of you that can read, somebody read that word for me.
Sin.
Sin. I'm probably going to guess that none of you, if I'd had you up here for like 3 hours giving me words that came to your mind, probably sin would not have been one that comes to mind, right? No. But if you go home and Google like bad Christmas morning reactions, you know, from kids, you can see some sin on display in those things. But you know, sin is a very important part of the Christmas story.
Ooh, my shirt says Old Navy.
It does. You know why? Because I can read it. That's good. Yeah, cool. Now let me tell you something real quick. So listen to me. The Bible tells us that Jesus was born as a baby in a manger. You all know that part of the story, right? But why was Jesus born as a baby in a manger? Why did Jesus come to earth? to take away all of our what? Sins. That's right. In the Gospel of Matthew, an angel comes to Joseph and says that Mary would have a child and his name would be Jesus. And you know what the angel says to Joseph? For he will save his people from their what? Sins. So sin is a very important part of the Christmas story. Jesus came to forgive people of their sin, to provide a way where we could have forgiveness of sin. That's why he came, okay? That's why he came. He did a lot of things, right? Jesus did a lot of things when he was on earth, didn't he? He healed a lot of diseases. He healed a lot of, taught a lot of really great things, treated people with respect and love. But the reason that sin is such an important part of the Christmas story is because that's why Jesus came, to forgive us of our sin. That when we place our faith in Jesus, when we receive Jesus as our Savior, we get forgiveness of sin. That's an amazing present. And that's a gift that keeps on giving. So I don't really expect you to say the word sin when you came up here, but I did want you to know that it's an important part of the Christmas story. So let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus who came to set us free from the bondage of sin. And as the boys and girls, some of them are already old enough, some of them not yet perhaps to fully understand and appreciate sin, that you would reveal to them that they in fact do sin and are sinners and that they need a relationship with Jesus in order to have forgiveness of sin. And so sin really sets the foundation for everything that we talk about at Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now, before you go, you're going to head back that way, and you're going to get your puzzle pieces. So if you haven't been here the last couple of weeks, everybody is getting this puzzle board, and you get the pieces. And we had these pieces the first week, these pieces last week. Exactly. This week, we're getting the wise men, and you can see it right up there. Mr. Ilgen has painted that really cool banner for us. So if you missed a week, don't worry. We'll give you the pieces. Yeah. We're going to get the last pieces next Sunday on Christmas Day. But if you can't be here that day, we'll have them available for you to pick up. So we want you to be able to fill out this Christmas puzzle. All right?
I already have some.
Fantastic.
I already have this piece.
Yep, you do. Now you'll get this side today and then the center next week. All right, you guys can head right back there. Pastor Janita's back there. And if you didn't come up, kids, you can head on back to junior worship now as well, okay?
It's like on the side.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's kind of silly, isn't it? All right. So as they're getting ready to head back there, we are going to receive our offering. And instead of having a scripture verse today, we're gonna do a little bit of a commercial. For the last several years on Christmas Eve, we have received a Christmas Eve offering, and we have used that money to give out to other ministries around the country or around the world. We've used it for Oasis of Hope. One year, we did an offering last year for the Dominican Republic. I believe we did Nigeria a few years ago. And so we're going to show you a little commercial to get you in mind of what we're going to be doing this Christmas Eve while we're giving our offering today. We're going to think about, and I'll talk a little bit more about this idea of what's going to happen in Christmas Eve. So if you'll run the video for me, we'll watch this.
This is Alton Brown for Heifer International. And I used to have a goat. All right, maybe it wasn't a goat. Maybe it was a cow or a water buffalo or a sheep or a llama or trees or chickens or even bees, in which case a leash would seem perhaps odd. Okay, my goat's not really missing. It went to a family somewhere in the world or even here at home. It went to people who really needed it. But why a goat, you might ask, or a cow, or a water buffalo, or bees? Why not send tractors if you want to help? Well, first, because in most of the places of the world where heifer works, the nearest gas station is a very long way off, and gas probably costs about $1,000 a liter. As for a mechanic, well, that's like in the next country. And let's face it, an animal has a much better engine, one that can move people's lives. You turn it on, it gives you milk, or wool, or eggs. It plows fields, it produces, how can I say this politely, fertilizer that makes crops grow. It's like giving someone a small business because all of those products, the milk, the wool, the eggs, turn into income for medicine, school, clothing, a better home, a sustainable livelihood. And the animals produce livestock because, you know, animals make baby animals. That's what they do. Try that with a tractor sometime. Anyway, the next thing you know, the family is passing on the gift, sharing the animal's offspring and the training that came with it with another family who does the same thing, and so does the next family and the next, until pretty soon you've helped to lift a whole community out of poverty. Cool, huh? You see, Heifer International isn't just about animals and training. It's about the amazing things that happen when people realize they can stand strong all on their own. Like the resourcefulness and skills they discover, the communities that grow, the attitudes that change. It's amazing. Suddenly, hope happens. And it's like somebody turned on a switch. And you know what else is amazing? It's the power you have to make the lasting change happen all over the world, every day. That's where my goat went. And that's what you start with, one gift to Heifer International, a gift that grows, and maybe the best, hardest working gift you'll ever give. And that, my friends, is a recipe for lasting change.
All right, so Christmas Eve, we'll be receiving our offering, and all that money will go to Heifer Project, which actually was founded by Church of the Brethren Man, Dan West, about 70 years ago. Just so you know, I think it's a cow is $500, a water buffalo is $250, because contrary to the VeggieTales song, everybody doesn't have a water buffalo. And the idea then is that they goes on and moves on. Oh, you guys didn't receive the offering during that video, did you? Oh, that's what I meant for you to do. I'm sorry, I wasn't very clear. So you can go ahead and start now. Go ahead while I talk. Go ahead. Go ahead and start and do that while I talk. I'm sorry. I look back there. Y'all still standing there. I realized I didn't communicate that very well. Well, the ushers in the first service picked that up. Anyway, moving right along. So all the money that comes in Christmas Eve will go toward Heifer Project, and they do things like bees and all that sort of thing. So it's really a neat organization for us to be involved in. So while they're doing that, you know, I learned something this morning. I'll share it with the first service. How many of you, when you sing that song, Gloria, Gloria in Excelsis, how many of you knew that it's actually supposed to be pronounced Excelsis? Yeah. I've always sung the song in Excelsis because I thought that's the way it's pronounced. It sounds like E-X-C, Excelsis. So I'm at the Christmas concert Thursday night at the choir, and I'm listening to them sing, and maybe I wasn't listening last year, but I was listening, and I thought, they're all saying it wrong. And then I realized, no, I think they're probably saying it right, and I've been saying it wrong for all those years. So when I was a kid, I used to wonder why it was that it must have been cold, because it was in Excelsis and it was like low, but I never understood. All right, so they're about finishing up there. So yeah. Here every Tuesday night. Yeah, try the veal, you know, so that's the way it goes. If you'll put my notes up there, Athena. All right, we're going to talk about this idea of piecing together the puzzle of Christmas, and we're going to stay a little lighthearted here in the beginning. I've opened up all of these messages with something that I found to be puzzling, right? There are some puzzling things about this idea of Christmas. It's just some things that are puzzling to me. And so we talked about that. And one of the puzzling things to me about Christmas, okay, and I mean this as lovingly as I possibly can say it. One of the puzzling things about Christmas is why some people have fake or artificial Christmas trees. All right, this is very puzzling to me, why people have. And now, if you have a fake or artificial Christmas tree, I do not want you to raise your hand. I do not want you to feel the weight of the shame and the scorn by those who are more enlightened than you. I don't want you to feel that, so just keep your hand down. But maybe at the end of this couple of minute discussion, yes, sir? You're done now, thank you. All right, I'm not. I'm going to keep on going. You know, the idea of fake, and we want to be genuine, right? We want to be authentic, and yet so many have succumbed to the temptation of the artificial or fake Christmas tree. And so I was kind of hoping that maybe today I'll share with you something that might flip you over to the other side, okay? And that you'll go home today, if you have an artificial one, you'll go home, you'll throw it out, and you'll go get a regular one, a real one, and you'll go from here. All right, so here's the deal. If you don't know the story, this is from artificialplantsandtrees.com. So I'm not making this up, and anything you see on the internet we know is what? True. So, but supposedly, in the 1800s in Europe, eventually the traditional Christmas tree began to be in short supply. And so they ended up going to this thing called a goose feather tree. I don't know if any of you have ever seen a real goose feather Christmas tree. All right. Okay. Fantastic. Fantastic. What I read was, though, however, and this one is kind of small, they're kind of sickly looking. You know, they just sort of, and they don't really do well for hanging ornaments and lights and things like that. And they're kind of expensive, and they're not really durable from year to year. So there was in America in the early 1900s, a company called the Addis Brush Company. The Addis Brush Company that came out with a new kind of artificial, or better word, fake Christmas tree. Okay, now some of you, if you have one of these trees, you will use words like everlasting or permanent. Let's just call it fake like it is. All right, so anyway, the Addis Brush Company came out. Now, you may not be familiar with the Addis Brush Company, but you have, and many of you have more than one of these things in your home that the Addis Brush Company was known for, all right? And that is a toilet brush. Okay, so the very company in America that began to produce the artificial Christmas tree used the same process through which it produced the what? Toilet brush. And if you go home really closely and you take your artificial Christmas tree and you look at least the early ones and you put it next to the toilet brush, you'll see some things. So my hope, my desire is that when you go home, you won't be able to look at your artificial Christmas tree anymore because you'll see a toilet brush. And so you will throw it out and you will bring new, get a real tree for this year or next year. Now, someone has already pointed out to me in the first service that we have probably 8 to 12 artificial Christmas trees out there in the foyer in various ways. Look, I've only been here a little over 4 years. I can't make all the changes right away, all right? So we're working on it. We're working on it. But anyway, I wanted to talk about something light and while they get the offering and everything. So, because today's more of a heavy sort of piece of the Christmas puzzle, all right? So we've had a couple of pieces so far. We looked at the historical piece of the Christmas puzzle. We went back and looked at just some of the prophecies that were given about this baby Jesus, where he was born, that prophet Micah wrote hundreds of years before Jesus was born, that he would be born in this place called Bethlehem. Isaiah writes, again, hundreds of years before Jesus would be born, that he would be born of a virgin. Genesis speaks of him being born from the tribe, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And so all of these things that were historical, that were written, that give us confidence that God had this under control, that God knew everything and how this was all going to play out, and also gives us confidence about the future prophecies as well. And last week, the other Pastor Eric spoke on this idea of the humble piece of the Christmas story. It's just an amazing thing to me that God himself would come in flesh, but that he would allow himself to be born as a baby, totally dependent on others, totally dependent on other people. It's just an amazing sort of thing. So those are the two pieces that we looked at before. And so today I want to talk about the hurtful piece, right? The hurtful piece of the Christmas puzzle. And this is a piece that we all know is present, pun intended, but we don't want to think about it. We don't want to think about this. This is not something, no children are going to say, when I talk to them about Christmas, what comes to your mind when you think of Christmas? Nobody's going to say sin. It's not going to happen. But yet it is an important piece of the Christmas puzzle, maybe even the most important piece of the Christmas puzzle. So I want to kind of unwrap that. And I want us to think about sin this morning. I want us to think about what this baby offers for us. And offers for people that we know and people that we love who do not know Jesus. So let's begin with this idea that the Christmas story was hurtful to Mary and Joseph. I don't know if you've thought about this, but the Christmas story was hurtful to Mary and Joseph. In that day, having a baby outside of marriage was grounds for death in some situations. It was certainly grounds for complete and utter exclusion from, somehow it's not, I've got Excelsius in my mind now, I can't say it any right. I want you to think about this. So remember the story, right? Joseph, when he finds out about Mary's pregnancy, the Bible says that he wants to what? He wants to put her away. All right, he wants to say, he doesn't want to cause her problems. He doesn't want to stone her. He doesn't want to do any of those things. He just wants to put her away, to get out from under this situation, this painful thing that's happening, because of course nobody's going to believe, right? Nobody's believing the virgin birth narrative, okay? That's not something that anybody's going to believe her about, with the exception perhaps of Elizabeth, who she goes to see. And so Joseph is minded to put her away. And then the angel comes and says to Joseph, no, that which is conceived of Mary is of the Holy Spirit. And then we read from Matthew. But you know that story wasn't bought by the rest of the family, right? Now, there's not a lot of discussion about this in the Bible. There's really no discussion about this in the Bible particularly, but we know this is the case. That's why Joseph wanted to put her away. So think of the hurt and the pain that was associated with Mary and Joseph with the birth of Jesus. Remember, they go off then to Bethlehem, about 90 miles from Nazareth, because of the taxation, and that's where Jesus is born. Do you know the Bible doesn't say anything about any family going with them? Again, I'm not 100% sure because it doesn't say specifically, but I don't think anybody went with them. Now, moms, ladies, your daughter for the first time is about to have a baby. You're going to send her off on a weeks long journey to some foreign city without you? I don't think so. But they were ostracized. They were put out. And then after the baby is born, they go to, they spend about 40 days, they go to Jerusalem. And we know that then they head back, and we know the whole bit about the wise men, which we're going to talk about in a little while. And so they're warned to go to Egypt because Herod wants to kill the baby. No family, I don't think. No family. And then eventually they make their way back to Nazareth, but I don't think there was a welcoming committee or a party. There was no baby shower. There was no reveal. There was a lot of hurt that was laid on Mary and Joseph because of the baby, the birth of Jesus, the very beginning of the Christmas story, I think, has a backdrop of hurt and separation and isolation and anger even and resentment. So next slide says that the news of the birth that brought joy to the shepherds likely brought hurt to Mary and Joseph. And it doesn't stop there. In fact, this next portion of the Bible, I never would have put in the Bible if I was writing it, and I suspect you probably wouldn't have either. And that's the story of Herod and the wise men. So the Christmas story was hurtful for those who lived near Bethlehem. Remember, the wise men come to Jerusalem and they ask Herod, hey, where is this king? We've seen his star in the east. And so Herod, you know, gathers all the people together and they're like, oh yeah, there's this king that's been to be born in Bethlehem. And so the wise men go to Bethlehem and Herod says to them, hey, I want you to, you know, bring back news of him. And, you know, where is he? What's the GPS coordinate? All that sort of stuff. I want to know where he is. I want to come and worship him. But Herod didn't want to worship Jesus. He wanted to what? Kill Jesus, right? He doesn't want another king. He doesn't want any competition. He's not really a real king anyway. He's just sort of a puppet king, kind of put there by the Roman government. And so the wise men are then warned by God not to go back to Herod. So then they just go on back home. And in verse 16, we read this in Matthew 2. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and he put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Can you just for a second feel that pain and feel that hurt? I don't think when the soldiers came into Bethlehem, they were particularly checking birth certificates. So I have a feeling that male children as old as maybe 3 or 4 were wiped out as well. I don't imagine the soldiers relished this job. They just wanted to get it over with as quickly as possible. So I imagine them just sort of sweeping in quickly under the cover of darkness, just looking for male children and slaughtering them. I would never have written this, but it happened. So the birth was hurtful in many respects, I think, to Mary and Joseph, and then catastrophically hurtful for those families that lived in Bethlehem in those districts. And then it doesn't stop there, because if we fast forward to Matthew chapter 10, which we looked at a few weeks ago in the All In series, the Christmas story brought hurt to the followers of Jesus, right? This is from Matthew 10. Do not think that I came, Jesus said, to bring, so Jesus is grown up now. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Now we looked and we broke this text down a few weeks ago, so I won't do that, but can you just simply see that there has been great division and great hurt caused by this baby in a manger? And Jesus is telling his disciples that this is exactly what's going to happen to you and really to all of those who follow after him. The suffering and hurt that began on Christmas Day continue to the current day. There are many people around the world who cannot even fathom meeting in a place like this with the lights on. And their faith in Christ has cost them their job or their freedom or even their life or their livelihood. Or they know family members who have been killed or imprisoned simply because they say that they follow Jesus. So there is a lot of hurt that comes into the Christmas story. There's a lot of pain that is the backdrop and even maybe the backbone of the Christmas story. The hurtful piece of the Christmas puzzle is there because of the harmful effects of sin. Again, we don't talk about it, right? No kid is going to say, Christmas, sin. No child is going to think about that. We think of presents and we think of Jesus and we think of trees and all of that. But look again at what the angel said to Joseph, recorded for us in Matthew 1:21. And she, of course, Mary, will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Not that he will heal all the people in the world, though Jesus healed probably thousands of people during the time that he walked the earth. Not that Jesus will lift up the cause of those who are marginalized by society, though he certainly did that. But then when he left, they began to be marginalized again by contemporary society and culture. He will save his people from their sins. The reason that we, well, let me jump ahead. No, how does this happen? Why was there so much hurt in the lives of Mary and Joseph? Why would Herod do that incredibly horrible thing that he did? Right? Why is it that you can go sometimes on YouTube and you can see those incredible fails when the kids open the present, it isn't what they want, and they scream and they shout and they're up and down, and hopefully you've never experienced anything like that, and hopefully when you were a kid you didn't do anything like that. But why? Well, I think it's fairly easy to understand that Christmas doesn't cause the sin. It simply reveals the sin that's already there, right? Right? You see, Herod was already a man filled with jealousy. Herod was already a man that was filled with insecurity. And so the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus, didn't make that happen. It just revealed that which was already in there. And Herod, like many people, was able to act upon his greed and was able to act upon his jealousy. And he had the power to try to eliminate the situation. And so it led to the death of who knows how many male children. But it wasn't birthed because of the Christmas story. It was already there. Just peeled it back. If you do give that particular present this year and your child opens it and it doesn't have the right number after Galaxy or iPhone or whatever the case may be, and even though their phone would have more power, more computing power than NASA had to put the man on the moon, if it's not the latest one, they might not be happy about that and they might express their frustration. That's not, the phone doesn't cause that. The gadget doesn't cause that frustration. The frustration's already there. The greed is already there. It's in their own hearts. It's in my heart. It's in your heart. But the Christmas story reveals that. It reveals it in Herod and reveals it sometimes in contemporary life in the way that we live and that we react even to acts of generosity. It's here. The hurtful piece of Christmas. The sin is here. We need to think about it and deal with it and not gloss it over. If there was no sin, there would be no reason for Christmas. Right? If there were no sin, there would be no reason for Christmas. Or, another way to say that, Jesus is the reason for the season. But sin is the reason for Jesus. Again, there are many, even in the church, who look at this Jesus fellow and they want to strip away the divinity. They want to strip away the miracles. They want to focus on the fact that he was a marvelous teacher and he came and he lifted up those who were oppressed. And he did that to some extent, though clearly if that was the reason, then he copped out a little bit early, didn't he? I mean, he only lasted for 3 years. He could have healed tens of thousands of more people, hundreds of thousands of more people. He could have lifted up the status and the lot of many, many more people over the year. He could have taught us how to live an adult life. That's not why he came. And we dare not strip away the reason that he came to focus on the collateral reason, which was good, but it was not the reason he came. The angel said, "She shall give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will what? Save his people from their sins." And that sin is in me, and that sin is in you. And that sin is in everyone that we know. And that is why he came. And it's such a glorious truth to think about the fact that he came to save us from our sin. The only way that we can be saved from our sin is through what this little baby did as he grew up and lived a sinless life and died on a cross and then rose again. We can't give that up. We don't want to give that up for other things that may be good, but are not even close to the main reason why he came. Next slide. There is a hurtful piece to Christmas because there is a hurtful piece of me. And this is what's so important for us to recognize. And I think Christmas really gives us an opportunity to think about it. The Bible says that all of us are sinners. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Over and over and over again, dead in trespasses and sins. The New Testament especially, but the Old Testament as well, gives us these reminders that we are sinners and that we need to be saved from that sin. And the New Testament reveals that the only way for that salvation to happen is through Jesus Christ, through the baby who came in a manger. The reason for the season is Jesus, but the reason for Jesus is sin. And what I wanted you to do this morning is I wanted you to think about that for a few minutes. And I want you to think about the people that you know who do not know Christ as Savior, who have never received Jesus as Savior. Again, the Bible says they are dead in their sins. And that without a relationship with Jesus Christ, they cannot have their sin forgiven. They cannot spend an eternity with God. They will spend an eternity separated from God. You say, well, that doesn't really sound fair. Well, neither does killing all of the male children in Bethlehem. But it's a product of sin. And as you look at your life and my life, and if you've accepted or received Jesus Christ as Savior, you do not become sinless. It is still a battle. It is still a struggle. It is still a process through which we draw closer to God and we get purified, and God works in our life and purifies our life, but we still struggle with that. And yet Jesus came that you could have daily victory, daily triumph over what? Sin. Sin. So there's a hurtful piece to Christmas. Because there's a hurtful piece to me. You know what? It's a bigger piece to me than I want to admit to you. And more likely, it's a bigger piece of you than you would want to admit to me. And yet the baby came so that we could have forgiveness and cleansing from that sin. It's the hurtful piece of Christmas. The hurtful piece of Christmas points to the hopeful piece of Christmas. That's next Sunday. But I just want to remind you that there is great hope. There is great hope. If you are here this morning and you have never received Jesus as your Savior, that's why he came. That's why he came. And he lived and he died and he rose again. And the Bible says that he's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And I can't explain all that. I don't really understand all that. But if you do not know Christ as Savior, you are missing the very reason for the season. Now, we want to encourage you. For whatever reason, if there's something in your mind, something there's a roadblock, there's something that somebody told you or taught you, or you know, well, Jesus can't really be divine and he can't really be born of a virgin and he can't do. Can we help you with that? There are reasonable answers to all of those kinds of questions. We want you to come into a relationship with Jesus. And if you've got friends or you've got family members, we all have friends, we all have family members, no if there, friends and family members who do not know Jesus, are you willing to invite them? Invite them to come on Christmas Eve. Invite them to come Christmas morning, or invite them to come in subsequent weeks, or share with them the meaning of Christmas, because they're going to miss it. And then those of us who have trusted in Christ, we need this hopeful peace for daily cleansing of sin, right? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's not gloss over that. We need that each and every day in our lives. I need that each and every day in my life. Are we taking advantage of that? The hurtful peace of Christmas is important because of the hurtful peace in me and in you. And that baby came so that you and I could not only have eternal consequences of our sin forgiven, but can live in daily intimacy and fellowship with God. And not to care about that misses the whole reason that he came. So what is it in your life maybe today? What sin is besetting you? What sin are you trapped in that you need to give to the baby in a manger? That you need to say, God, I realize that this sin is in my life. This sin is in some ways destroying, ruining, harming my relationship, and I need to give it over to you. And then, if you're really serious, tell somebody else about it and let them help you and let them pray for you. Wouldn't it be great to receive a gift of cleansing of sin at Christmas time? It has no number on the back of it. It never goes out of date. Maybe you're here today because there's something that God wants you to repent of and give to him. You know, I think I mentioned this in the first service. If the statistics are true at all, some of you guys in here are struggling with pornography. You're viewing it on a regular basis. Let's not go into 2017 with that. Let's give that over to him. Let's say, God, I don't want that in my life anymore. I don't need that in my life anymore. You can forgive me of that. You can give me a way. You can give me a way to overcome the temptation every single time it comes into my mind because of the baby in a manger. Maybe it's not necessarily something that you're doing that you shouldn't do, but maybe it's something that you should be doing that you're not doing. Sacrificially giving, forgiving someone. Why do you want to go into the next year with that? Jesus, the baby, died for that sin. Give it to him. And then you get to experience really the gift that keeps on giving, right? Because of the hurtful peace of Christmas. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for who you are. And as our folks get ready to play, I just want us to think about sin. Not the sin of someone else, but our own sin. For those who are here who have never received Jesus as Savior, I pray that you would perhaps in a fresh, new way reveal to them that you sent your son as a baby and put, I believe, Mary and Joseph through an incredible amount of hurt. But you decided to do it this way, and you know best. But you sent that little baby who grew up, who never sinned, died on a cross, was resurrected, And just as the angel said to Joseph, he wants to save them from their sin. And what they need to do is simply receive it. To believe by faith that those events really happened. That Jesus really is God. And he really can forgive them. And when they receive him by faith, you make that incredible transaction of forgiveness of sin and eternal life. And those of us that still struggle with sin, which if we're breathing, we're still struggling. Lord, what is it that maybe you want us to give up to you? What is it that perhaps today you want us to repent? That today can be the day that we understand and fully realize your word, which says that no temptation has overtaken us except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape that we would be able to endure it or bear it. And that we would refuse to fall to the lie that we are powerless over that temptation, but rather we would appropriate the power that's been given to us through the baby, through Jesus. And that today, December 18th, could be the last day that we're in bondage to that sin. Father, I pray that that we recognize how amazing you are, how glorious you are. And Father, I pray that if there are those here who are like, yeah, but, that you would move them to ask those questions so you can remove the doubt. And that maybe this Christmas could be the greatest Christmas they've ever experienced. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.